Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my good colleague of many years, decades, Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, former member of Congress, to comment on the suspect nuclear weapons program in Iran. All the headlines at this hour are concentrating on the deal or non-deal, the paper or non-paper, the channel or back-channel of the Straits of Hormuz. That is not, we're told again and again, why the President of the United States and his administration have committed the full weight of the U.S. military to preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, not preventing Iran from closing the Straits of Hormuz. That was never mentioned in February 28th, casus belli, nor was it mentioned much through March. I don't believe it emerged as a major factor until April, when both sides, the American U.S. Navy and the IRGC, claimed that the Hormuz was closed, claimed that you couldn't go through there safely. So, Thaddeus, I turn to you on the nuclear weapons program only because I'm not it hasn't been lost, but it's mentioned now as rhetorical, as in what's really important is the price of oil, or what's really important is to get America clearing, moving the goods through the Straits of Hormuz. Again, what's really important is the supply chain for fertilizer, for other high-end end-user goods to come out of the Persian Gulf, where there are hundreds of ships marooned or stuck there. That's what the talk is now. But underneath this was always the nuclear weapons program. Has that been lost, Thaddeus? Has everybody moved it aside as a casus belli that wasn't really important?
Well, I think part of the problem, John, is the failure to actively and effectively communicate the war aims of the United States in this situation. We can talk about the nuclear program. We can talk about trying to stop the nuclear program. But then you also have to look at the reality of the fact that most Americans are very practical people. And we look at the practical impact of this operation on the cost of living, on what they pay at the pump. And they want to know if there's been progress, and they want to see the Straits of Hormuz open. Now, from the administration's point of view, I can understand why they don't want to talk about the Straits of Hormuz, because this seems to be an inexplicably unforeseen circumstance that Iran would try to close the Straits of Hormuz. It's inexplicable why they hadn't been planned for this contingency, why they did not keep them open. The United States did not keep them open in response. And now we're talking about basically dealing with a regime that continually lies, continually shows that they have no willing to talk to the great Satan, which is the United States. They still scream death to Israel, death to the United States. I don't know how they're a really good negotiating partner. The only way to try to deal with their nuclear program at this point is if you continue along the path that this administration is on, is to make sure there's adequate verification. I don't know whether we're ever going to see that out of this regime at this point in time. Can I go back to my original concern, is that this was an attempt at regime change that went sideways, and now we are trying to figure out how to maximize the leverage that we may or may not have over the situation militarily. It seems to me that the Iranians truly believe the time is on their side. Now, that may or may not be the case, but as we are heading into an election, which they do not seem to have that concern on their side, they expect that any economic pain that they can cause by shutting down the Straits of Hormuz will inure to their advantage. And that's where we're at right now. And again, what we're talking about is a deal to extend for 60 days, a ceasefire. We're not talking about the ultimate resolution. We're not even talking about the end of the beginning. So it seems to me that a lot of this talk is just talk at this point in time. A lot of it is for domestic consumption, and it's really resulting in domestic confusion.
Mr. Rubio says, I think it's a lot of talking back and forth going on about specific language in the initial document, so it'll take a few days. The president has expressed his desire to make it. He's either going to make a good deal or no deal, said Mr. Rubio. I again turn to the nuclear weapon and come to a conclusion.
Well, John, on that point, so what's he going to say? What politician is going to say, I'm going to accept a bad deal? Yeah, this is that's just saying something that doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Yeah, of course I'm going to get a good deal, or I won't take a bad deal. Okay, that's wonderful. Now, what are you going to do? And how are you going to get there?
About the nuclear weapons program, has it now become a fact that the U.S. has conceded that it cannot prevent or stop, finally, the nuclear weapons program in Iran? Is that what we're watching, the transformation of the Trump administration into tolerating nukes in Tehran?
Well, when you're talking about, again, when we're dealing with Iran, we have to remember that the nuclear program was designed as an umbrella to shield them so they can continue their exportation of terrorism and the destabilization of the region, and not only their region, but other parts of the world. So when we're talking about this, it is very important for them to get the nuclear weapon to protect themselves from the very type of things that we're seeing now from the United States to try to stop them from getting it, i.e. military kinetic operations. So when you're the Iranians at this point, and the United States is talking about handing over the enriched uranium, that's not similar to saying we're going to destroy root and branch your ability to recreate your nuclear program to produce it. We want to see all your sites. We want to have routine inspections continuing ad infinitum because you can't be trusted. We've also seen their missile programs. That was supposed to be something that was supposed to be subject to inspection into the JCPOA back in the day. So where are we now in terms of trying to deal with this regime? It's still the same regime that hates us and wants to destroy us.
The attendant matter is the primary, and I come to that because it's a crowded calendar as we go back to work after Memorial Day. The Wall Street Journal again. President Trump last week endorsed State Attorney General Ken Paxton in the Texas GOP primary for the U.S. Senate seat. The president is playing a hot hand, writes the Wall Street Journal, when it comes to primaries. But Paxton's adversary in the runoff is Senator John Cornyn, and Senator Cornyn isn't going down without a fight. The runoff results will be revealed Tuesday night, and the winner will take on Democratic James Tallarico. In other words, what we're looking at here is not just the Texas story. We're looking at the ability of Mr. Trump to define the Republican Party he wants in place for 2027. He's been successful, I believe, so far in the primaries that I've read about, most recently one in Kentucky, with Mr. Massey leaving the House after the term ends. That is this your measure of politics as usual? The president chooses his candidate, no matter whether it's an incumbent or not, and that this is not something fresh invented by the Trump people. It's shaping the last 2 years of what theoretically is a lame duck president.
This is not new. As you know, John FDR was very active in a lot of the primaries. He went after Harry Truman. He was a champ clerk, I believe, at that point in time. And Harry's might wound up winning despite the odds. FDR's track record wasn't as good as President Trump's in the primary, but the primaries are nice. The primaries will determine who will be the party's standard bearer. But the real test will come in November, whether they get elected.
Right.
And so he may be on a roll within the Republican primary, and I don't know whether Texas has a closed primary, an open primary. Michigan has open primaries. I'm not sure about how Kentucky has their primaries. Is it party registration only, so on and so forth. But he has been successful. Now let's see if that translates into the fall, because that's really what matters for the country and for the Republican Party. As we know, and we've talked about, it is not at the present time a propitious climate for the Republican Party, to say the least, at November. And I think President Trump is banking that the more MAGA the nominees are, the more likely their chance of success in November. That remains to be seen. But we will find out. And we will find out in Texas. And again, he has played a hot hand. And Sikorian is a survivor. The interesting thing will be to watch when FDR did this, it did not inure to his benefit within the Senate itself afterwards, especially because he did not prevail. As a lame duck, which FDR was not when it happened, it's going to be interesting to see how the Senate reacts to this. Cornyn was a well-liked member of the Republican caucus, and I know that it's not popular to say it, that the Senate, it has its ups and downs with the Republicans, but again, having a Republican Senate majority is very important, but it's also important to have one that is not at war with the President of the United States and is engaged in guerrilla tactics against him to sabotage his agenda. Now, people are saying that John Thune is doing that, the rest of them. It's a separate equal branch, and they do not respond well to presidential attacks on.
That is McCarter, American Greatness, former member of Congress. I'm John Batchelor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.